It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Renee and Lori are back from the Apple event. One of them has three, not one, not two, but three iPhones in his hand. We'll get Renee's review and details. So lots to talk about there. Andy Iannocco's also here. The Apple Watch, iOS 13, and a whole lot more coming up next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is
TWiT. This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 679, recorded Tuesday, September 17th, 2019. I'm holding one right now. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by FreshBooks, the number one accounting software in the cloud for self-employed professionals and their teams. You'll make confident business decisions with FreshBooks. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/MacBreak. And by IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV provides IT training that's effective and entertaining with access to virtual labs and practice tests. Visit go.itpro.tv/MacBreak for an additional 30% off for the lifetime of your active subscription. Just use the code MacBreak30 at checkout. And by ZipRecruiter. Hiring isn't easy, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple and smart. That place is ZipRecruiter, where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Try it free at ZipRecruiter.com/MacBreak. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we cover the latest Apple news. And hold on to your hats. This could be an eight-hour show. There is a lot to talk about. Andy Iannocco and I were here last week talking about the new iPhones. It's great to see
Hello.
You, Andy.
Great to be here once again.
Appreciate your patience in the library there.
That's okay. It's quiet. It's peaceful.
I hope you brought something to read.
No, I prefer to drop off a few things, sort of elevate the taste of the community.
I saw somewhere the St. Louis Public Library, I think it was St. Louis, is eliminating late fees. And I thought, that's not going to work. That's a bad idea. Ah. Bad idea. Also, Lori Gill, she's here from iMore.com, managing editor. Hello, Lori.
Hi.
You're wearing your Apple festivity hairdo today.
Yes, thank you. Actually, Apple festivity would probably make it lavender or mint green.
Or six colors.
Rainbow.
Rainbow. Hey, that's yeah. Renee Ritchie, who is absolutely exhausted because he has filed. And even the video is now encoding.
I'm mostly filed.
So you got an iPhone at the event, I guess, because you've had it for a week.
Yeah. Got a couple.
Ooh.
Which ones did you get?
Look at those.
I'll hold them up. Can you see them?
There oh, my God. A couple. It looks like an iPhone 11 in lavender and yes. an iPhone Pro 11 and a Pro 11 Pro Max in khaki or tactical green.
Midnight green, yeah.
Midnight green. All right. And I see pictures of Georgia Dow and her flaming red hair and the flaming sunset. So yeah. Georgia lied to us when she said, I don't know if Renee has an iPhone. I don't know. Of course, I knew she was lying.
Yeah, she, what was it this box said? She implied.
She said, I don't know what Renee's doing. Well, Renee, it turns out, was up late. So what do you think? Actually, Lori, did you get in or did you?
I did.
So you did get to go.
Yeah.
So your ploy of sitting outside looking mournful worked.
It did. Somebody felt bad for me and actually invited me to the event.
Did like an Apple employee come out and say, "I'm sorry, here's a muffin"?
It was the patchouli oil. I'm telling you,
it
actually worked.
So you were both there. Awesome. So God, I have so many questions. Of course, I have already ordered the 11 Pro Max. So say nothing bad about it.
Nice. It's so good.
There's nothing bad to say, is there?
No, I mean, like, it depends on how nitpicky you want to be about Pro. Like, should Pro be like an iPad where it has USB-C and a pencil and, you know, a couple other things? You could make an argument for that, absolutely. But the stuff that it does have, it does very, very well.
Yeah, Pro, and we talked about this last week, really is meaningless when it comes to a phone. It's not like a Mac Pro. Yeah. It's a little less meaningful with an iPad, but it's totally
no. I had a Trio
phone.
Pro 10 years ago. It was yeah. fine.
So Pro for Apple means the more expensive one.
Yeah.
It's not even. The 11 Pro is actually smaller than the 11, right? It's not even the biggest one.
Yes. And then this, but they've got super battery life now, Leo, so they're not feeling bad about themselves anymore.
That actually is question one from my point of view. Apple claimed 5-hour better battery life on the iPhone 11 Flow Max. Is that the case?
So, my usual testing is Pokemon Go Community Day, because that's, 4 or 5 hours of GPS and data and screen on and just basically everything you can think of. The screen is rendering, the GPU, the CPU are all busy. And we went like 4 hours and an hour after that. And then I was photographing and filming and I hit the red around midnight, which has never happened before.
Holy
I'm not
sure
cow. That happened with a battery case before.
Holy cow.
And they're brand new. Like, these are brand new batteries. So they're going to go as long as Apple says they're going to go. So I'm going to see how they do, 3 months later, 6 months later. But it's the OLED display is 15% more efficient. And the A13 SoC is between, 15 and 40% more efficient. When you put those two things together with a slightly larger battery, miracles are common.
Well, and iOS 13. We're already hearing people with older phones on iOS 13 getting better battery life. So Apple's optimized in every possible corner. Yeah. That's pretty good. In fact, I know it's not tied to the departure of Johnny Ive, but to see Apple make a slightly thicker phone with better battery life.
A little thicker, a little heavier.
Yeah.
I think people will live very nicely with extra battery life.
Yeah. Nobody's saying slimmer.
It's something they do. Like, they did that with the 6S because they started putting the gasketing and the sealing for water resistance. Then they did it with the 7 because that was officially water resistant. And now these are the most water resistant iPhones ever. And they also have a bunch of other stuff in them. So they do go up a little bit, but then they have a tendency to go back down. So I'm just hoping they stick with it and just keep filling it with battery as though it were frosting.
We're going
to
be spoiled.
Just keep pumping it in there.
We're going to be totally spoiled.
My question is, will people on YouTube still be able to bend them?
I mean, they'll break them because they're glass, and if they were ceramic, they'd shatter them.
You can break and bend anything, given enough torque.
But can they still blame Apple for it?
Yeah, but can you blame Apple? Exactly. I've been very impressed with the night shots. As you were talking, I think it was before the show started, about how you found yourself in a darkened roof and at midnight.
I tweeted that. Like, I wasn't even expecting anything. I just wanted to take a shot. I turned the flash off so it couldn't fire. And then I took one with the 10R and one with the 11. And you could see everything. It was like, the interesting thing is, I was looking, we were doing some comparisons between the different night modes, the Google night mode, Huawei, Samsung's, Apple's, and they all make very different choices. Like, some of them reduce color to try to enhance clarity. And some of them just, they don't really resolve texture too much. They try to focus on people more. And Apple is trying to get as much color as they can, but also detail in different textures. So, like, wood looks different than cloth, then looks different than skin. And it's almost an artistic dark night mode. And they don't want it to look like day. Like, some companies just want to turn night into day, but they make the light fall off pretty quick if they can find a subject in it. So it's still kind of moody and has a lot of ambiance.
So, yeah, this is the AI feature. This is, by the way, this is a 10R picture from the roof.
Yeah.
And this is the same picture with the 10 or 11 Max.
Pro. Just the 11. That's not even the
11. Just
Pro.
The 11. Not even the 3. Not even the 3 lens version.
No.
Side by side, you can.
It
you
only
can really
night
see
mode
the
with the regular camera, because that has 100% focus pixels, and it's using those to suck in as much light as it can before it does everything else.
So what I understand, and you got briefed, so correct me, but the minute you open the camera app, it starts taking pictures. It starts understanding the picture using machine learning, saying that's a face, that's a brick, that's a sky. And it also does an interesting thing that Google does not do. Much of this is similar to what the Pixel 3 did, but it takes a overexposed picture, an extra bright picture, throws that in the mix, then takes your picture. And that's, you said that picture is with the one lens.
Yeah.
You don't have to say night mode. That's another thing. With the Google Pixel, you have to put it in night mode. This just does it.
What happens is there's this little icon next to the flash that turns yellow when light gets dark enough, and it'll say 1 second, and then it gets darker, it'll say 2 seconds, gets even darker, it'll say 3 seconds. And then when you take the picture, you see a little tack line across the bottom sort of fly across, showing you how long you should hold the picture still for. And then once you have it, it sort of gets brighter and brighter in the viewfinder. So it's to entertain you so you don't move too much while you're taking it. And then the picture will come up. And it takes about as long to save as the iPhone 7 did a portrait mode. So it takes like, a second to save, depending on how complicated everything is. And then you just, you have the picture. And I think it's pulling information off the live preview. One of my favorite things about Apple's phones is they've always tried to make the live preview, like they fuse anything they need to make that live preview realistic. And so that's 3 second thing is pulling all the data out of the preview image that they're getting so they can figure out, okay, this is a human face. I've got to make sure the color is right. It's got to look like skin. There's no face in this. I don't have to worry so much. This is a light. And it does all that stuff, like you said before, it pre-crunches everything so that you can get that picture when you tap it and doesn't have to do it after you've taken the shot.
It's also doing the portrait again. And boy, these portraits of Georgia are gorgeous. And I really think this is kind of neat. This is these are HDR. Is the HDR? Actually, Apple's calling it XDR, aren't they?
So the display is XDR. It's smart HDR for the photos, XDR for the display.
Okay. And that's really more just a callback to the Mac Pro display, the XDR display, than anything else.
The peak brightness and sustained brightness levels.
So these are smart HDR shots. Again, you don't have to tell it to. It just does it. In the past, Apple and other phones have maybe taken HDR too far, sometimes over-sharpening or over-softening, but these look pretty darn good.
Or like Austin Mann exposing silhouettes when you actually want a silhouette as an artist.
These really are just great. That's a beautiful picture.
She has the sun behind her, which is what we were trying to do to see, like, she was, all the light was basically behind her at that point.
So that's historically something that iPhone has not done well, is backlight photography. In fact, Nilay Patel has a series of shots that he shows the 10R not handling backlight well at all, and the 11 doing much better. This looks great.
Yeah, and if it gets too dark for the night mode, it'll just switch to flash if you have the flash enabled. Though it's sort of smart like that. And if you have a tripod or you can hold it on a surface, like you put it up on a surface, it'll do the night mode for up to 28 seconds. So they were showing some pictures that look like you pulled every star out of the night sky.
Wow. All right, and now thanks to Snapchat. You can do 3D selfies. I don't know. I don't even know what it is. Micah Sargent was showing me in Snapchat. And actually, you don't even need the new phones. You could do it with the older phone, too. You can get 3D selfies, which are kind of creepy weird.
The only big difference with the Pro now is because when you do portrait mode, you use the wider lens to get the depth data. You now have two portrait modes because you can shoot telephoto with the wide angle depth data or wide angle with the ultra wide angle depth data. So you get both the close-up and the mid-range portrait mode, which is nice.
Apple started with the iPhone 11, not the 11 Pro. Mentioned that the 10R last year was its best-selling iPhone. You think now that you have both, do you think most people should get an 11 and not a Pro?
Yeah, I mean, first, I just got to say that, you know, the Wall Street Journal called the iPhone XR beleaguered and a failure, I think, 18 times successively in print.
Where were they wrong?
Didn't give up on itself. Walk off into the Arctic and die. And I think a couple people have said it was the best. I don't know, it was IDC, but a couple analysts said it was the best selling phone in the world. Single phone, not conglomeration of phones, which is neat.
Well, and partly that was battery life. Clearly sending two signals to Apple, price and battery life are important to consumers. And Apple responded this year.
And a little fun, a little bit of humor, a little bit of whimsy every once in a while. But everyone should get the 11. And I'm not just saying, like, if you care desperately about OLED, because that OLED display is really, really nice. It's using Samsung's latest process, same one that's used on the Galaxy S10, and Apple's doing their own thing with it. So it's like, it's not exactly the same, but it's using that process, Apple's materials and their mitigations and stuff, but it looks really, really great. And if you really want a telephoto camera, those are the big differences. There are some small differences, like the waterproofing is better. You might like the textured surface better. You might really want 4x4 MIMO. Aggregated LTE, if you even know what that is. So there's like three or four things that if you're a nerdy nerd about any or multiple of those things, you're going to want the Pro. But I think the vast majority of people won't even notice that those things aren't there.
And it starts at $699.
And the
64 gigs
cheap too.
Too small? Should you up the storage?
I would prime for two reasons. One is I'm at 69 gigs, so I would have to. But also, it's just $50. Like Apple traditionally is $100.
Yeah.
It's just $50 to go to 128, and that's pretty good. Like, it's not the best deal in the world, but it's a really good Apple deal.
And 128 is probably enough for most people, right?
Let me be a different voice on that one, though. I have about 35. I've used about 35 gigs on my phone, and it's my daily driver. It's not like an extra phone. It's the one I use all the time. So not everybody is going to be using that much storage. So I'm thinking a lot of real techie people who do a lot of really techie type stuff, they're gonna ramp that up. But if you put a lot of stuff in the cloud, like I don't put music on my phone because I can stream it. I don't put movies on my phone because I can stream it. So if you're doing a lot of stuff in the cloud, you don't actually need 128. But Renee is right. It's only $50 more if you wanted to go for it.
Well, the other thing is you might be using the camera more. You might be shooting a lot more video. Both of these are spectacularly good. That's the kind of thing that fills up a phone fast, although you can offload it.
Yeah. Now that 60 frames per second 4K is available in different in more modes, now that you have a much better display with spatial audio, you might find yourself thinking, well, I may as well download stuff from Netflix and keep it on my phone instead of watching stuff on my laptop. The thing about storage is that you can't add it later. So yeah, for $50, particularly with a phone that I think is designed that you will just find yourself immersing yourself in this up to the neck as soon as you start getting it. You have to factor in how much are you going to love this phone? How much are you going to hate not having whatever experience you want to have, having it in this phone as opposed to switching to your tablet, your iPad, your laptop, whatever. And from everything I've had a much more regular sleep schedule, absolutely, than Renee, but mostly it's like finding out that like some engineer has responded to an email like at 2:30 a.m. And I know that if I reply right away and get them on chat, I can actually fire questions before like he has to go to work and I have to go to bed. And every single thing I'm seeing about this phone really does say that this is a phone that there's very, very little reason to get off the sofa, go across, find your laptop charger and bring your laptop to you. It's going to be such a great experience using this device for 100 different reasons that, yeah, I'd say $50. I won't loan you the $50, but I'm going to encourage you to spend the $50.
not my $50, but somebody's $50.
Yeah. And I think it's like $2 on the installment plan difference or $1 or $2 on the installment plan difference.
Speaking of chargers, much better charger in the box now.
Finally.
For the Pro.
Only the Pro. Okay.
Yeah, the Pro gets the USB-C 18-watt charger, and the 11 gets the usual lightning.
That's nice, though.
5-watt lightning charger.
And I noted that you and others on Twitter are still bemoaning the off-center lightning port.
Yeah, I mean
who cares? Who are these people that care about that?
Industrial design geeks, Leo, we care about everything, every hole, every notch, every bit of construction.
I guess so.
Renee, would you and your like be made more happy if, let's say that we sold like a special sort of case where the phone is offset inside the case to make it look like you've got the.
I'm sorry, Andrew. That's a kludge. I don't want a kludge.
No, but it's also a little bit. It's also a little bit of you know. Because people like Apple people were always making fun of Samsung for never being able to align their ports like at all. They'd have different ports. Like someone took them and threw them on the phone at some point, and now they can't even do it. It's like, so, you know, it's just a little bit there.
Yeah, well, that's why like maybe we shouldn't have been making fun of Samsung for doing that. It's like, I mean, it's nice. It's details do matter. And you're always correct whenever you say this is how this thing makes me feel. But there's a difference between the thing that makes me roll my eyes is when it goes from, oh, well, gosh, it does look a little bit weird with an offset like that, to fail, loser. This is why Samsung just doesn't get it. It's like, dude, there's an ASIC that had to go there.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of like okay with moving it.
But if you just planned the ASIC last fall, like I told you to.
I bet during the iFix teardown, they didn't even paint the inside of the case as well as they painted the outside.
Oh, shocking. Shocking.
Can never use it again, Andy. Thank you.
speakers, better.
Yeah. So there's two things that they can do. One is if you have Dolby 5.1, Apple has their own custom virtualizer that will do spatial placement for the sound.
Oh, come on. It's just a small little speaker in the bottom of the phone. You can't tell me.
You say that, but then I was watching. Yeah. I'm the kind of person who's been using my cell phone speaker forever. Like, I used to listen to MacBreak Weekly on the speaker of my Trio 680.
We do not encourage that.
I don't encourage putting it to your ear when you're in a cafe and yelling at a person on FaceTime on your ear. Mm-hmm. But like, if you're on your own, like the, you know, privacy of your own home, you can listen on a speaker if you want to. But this will place it. So like, I was watching Godzilla and I was watching Bumblebee, and you hear like moving around. And if it has Dolby Atmos encoding, it'll just use the Atmos encoding and just make a sound stay. And the thing that's really cool about this is Apple built this world-class audio lab. And I remember they took us there for the HomePod, and I was in the analyst track for that. So I was with a bunch of like all the analysts that you know, basically. And they're like, we've never been in one this big. This is like five times the size of any quiet room we've ever been in. And this is like, oh, we can see down eight floors. Wow. And they were like super impressed. But I think Apple's doing things in there like the AirPods, like the HomePod. Like, they're now doing this virtual thing where it tries to detect where the earpiece is on your ear and project the sound in the right direction for you. And all of that is paying off now across like every product they're making. And that's when you have this many billions of dollars and you can make a building like that, you start to earn dividends from it.
Renee, though they're not promoting it like this, would you say the new spatial speakers are more like true stereo? Like, there's left and right channels, or at least like maybe a computational version of left and right channels?
Yeah, it's like a soundstage. It's like but the previous ones had wide stereo, which was very much like that. You'd hear like the right and the left. And here it's like it's all the way right. It's halfway right. It's a quarter of the way right. It's center. It's a quarter left, half left, full left.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I have to say, and we're going to talk about Apple Arcade in a little bit, but the games on Apple Arcade all have really spectacular sound, and playing them on the iPad Pro, you really notice that Apple's put a lot of detail, a lot of attention to audio playback.
And the developers are so proud. We had a chance to chat with them too, and they're like, we want to make the Mac version amazing and the Apple TV version amazing, because usually we don't have time or money to bother with those versions.
Nice, nice. Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. I want to take advantage of the fact that you didn't get a phone, right, Lori?
I did not.
Okay. I don't mean to focus on Renee, but he's the one who has the phone.
He's the one who's holding them in his hand.
If we lived closer, we would be
showing
them
off.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I presume you didn't get a Series 5 watch yet. You still just have the phone, or do you have a watch too?
I'm not wearing anything
today. Me or Renee?
Today.
I do not.
Okay. And Renee's not wearing it today.
I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry.
Okay, got it. The embargo's not off. I understand.
Renee, I'm having a laugh at your expense, but I am also the person who snuck like a pre-release phone into the studio.
I remember
hidden inside a case for an older phone. So
I learned from watching Andy.
Andy's very good.
People would ask him, and he would be like, "What is that over there? Is that a bird?"
Yeah.
Andy is my sensei, my Yoda.
I don't want to belabor. I did order.
But I can tell you, I did get to look at them in person. If you have some, you know, questions on what that titanium looks like.
I ordered the titanium. I think I'm nuts. I ordered the dark titanium with the link band. I hope that was a good idea.
Nice.
It was a lot of money, so it better be a good idea.
The titanium is absolutely gorgeous. I love this color. In terms of the difference in brushed metal, it's definitely the winner, in my opinion, over aluminum. And then when you're getting into that comparison between the polished metal of stainless steel versus the brushed metal of titanium, it's a little more complicated as to what you like better. But I absolutely love the way that titanium looks. It's deep and rich, so it really feels like real jewelry when you look at it. It's gorgeous. And I think I prefer, I don't prefer the black case, but in terms of between the two titanium colors, I prefer the black just because it has this nice shine to it, even though it's brushed. So it's really, really gorgeous. You're going to love it.
I got the right one. Thank God.
I got the same one.
Did you get that too?
I ordered it. Yep.
A little pricey, but I thought, well, in fact, you know, last year I ordered just the cheapest one I could get. But I thought, I kind of like, I've had titanium watches.
I always say that. I'm like, I'm never going to buy more than the aluminum again. And then every year it's like, we have a new material for you.
I know. So I got the black titanium with the space black link. You think that's a good choice? That's what you got, Renee?
Yeah, except I didn't get it with this base black link because I already had that. My first Apple Watch was the black steel that came with that.
Right.
So I got it with one of the new two-tone bands, which I really like.
This will be my first link because I've always resisted it because it's like ridiculously expensive. You know, it's hundreds of dollars for a watch.
The funny thing about it, though, is like other watchmakers had those for 100 years and never thought to make them easy. And now they all do it. Like Apple makes it once. And now the entire world.
Easy to take or add a link so that it fits just right.
Yeah.
This doesn't have a magnet in it, though, because I noticed that they said don't, if you want the compass to work on the watch, don't use a magnetic wrist bracelet. There's no magnet in the link, or is there?
No, there's not.
Not that I need a compass, but.
You say that.
Oh, but let's talk about the compass. I'm very excited.
Why? Are you an orienteer? Do you get lost on stage?
I get lost in the woods, actually.
Do you?
It's fantastic to me that they've been able to fit an actual magnetometer. I cannot say that.
Magnetometer.
I apologize for that.
You said it.
It's named after the X-Men Magneto.
Magneto.
Okay, yes. Into that tiny little Apple Watch. And it's not digital or it's not based on, you know,
that's
GPS
what surprised
tracking.
Me. It's not GPS. It's a compass. It's literally a magnetic compass.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's all just, right there on your wrist.
It's crazy.
It's really impressive.
Well, okay, Lori shamed me about this because I didn't think it was a big deal. And then she said it was a really big deal. So I started asking around. And the first thing people told me was, you're out with your family, but you've gotten separated. And you just say, find my wife, find my kid. And then without even touching your phone, it shows you exactly which direction to go as well.
And
you
that also brings up this U1 chip, which Apple mentioned briefly. Did they brief you on ultra wideband? Did they talk about that at all?
They did not very much because the first feature using it, which is going to be a spatial AirDrop, is not shipping until 13.1. So they just said, this is what it does and this is what's coming.
All right. I want to take a little break because Jason Snell did do an article about it. I'm very curious about it, but we got to take a break. This is, of course, our first chance to talk to a man who's been holding the iPhone for a week. And I'm shocked to say, dunked it in the water. Did you hear from Apple about that one? It was just floating.
I mean, you've got a claims test, right? Like you can't, everything they said, I'm sure they're a very good company. They do a lot of testing, but I have to do it too.
Wow.
That's just the way it works.
Is there a reason the flashlight's on? Is that so you can find it if it floats away?
There's two reasons. One, I'm in a flood zone and there's really strong currents here. Two, it shows me that the phone is still working because I figured that light will go off if anything goes wrong.
Good point. And it survived this dunking.
Yeah, I mean, the rating now is really good. The 11 is rated to 2 meters, and the Pro is rated to, 2 meters, and the Pro is rated to 4 meters, both for 30 minutes.
That's really good. I mean, I don't think we would recommend using it for underwater photography.
No, because water resistance degrades over, like the more you use it, the more it degrades, especially if you use it in chlorine or salt water and don't rinse it off carefully. So you can have a nasty surprise one day. If you want to do underwater photography, just get one of those cases and it's super safe. But if it accidentally falls into the pool, you know, you're the deep end now, you're fine.
That's what it's designed for, emergencies, not for regular use. Anyway, we'll take a break. We come back. I want to ask about the camera bump too. I have lots of questions. And there is a rant.
Awesome.
There is a rant.
There's always a rant.
There's always Renee stayed up late to rant. We've got to give him the credit on that too. But before we do, let me mention FreshBooks. My second favorite Canadian. Actually, my third after Georgia, you, and then FreshBooks. FreshBooks. Oh, my fourth favorite Canadian after you, Georgia, Amber MacArthur. Well, I can go on. It's a very nice company up there in the beautiful Toronto area. I started using FreshBooks to do my invoicing back in 2004 when I was going to Canada to do a call for help up there. And I just hated the invoicing. I had to do the conversion to Canadian dollars. I had to get all my receipts together. It was just a pain in the butt. I did learn, though, an important lesson. If you don't invoice, you don't get paid. Amber told me about FreshBooks, and man, it was a revolution. FreshBooks takes the stress out of accounting for you, for your team. Easy to use invoices, billing, expense organization. Yeah, you could even take pictures of expenses on the FreshBooks app, put them right in the invoice or store them away for later. Time tracking, yes. It takes all your client information and makes it available to you, easy to update in the client hub, and then you can get it in the app so you always have the information you need about any project, any client. You can look at expense reports, track time, create invoices, keep your clients up to date on your progress, share details with them. And it's all in one screen. No more toggling back and forth from app to app. You find everything you need at FreshBooks. I love the app. I love the website. You are going to love FreshBooks. It lets you stay on top of your business's well-being. You'll know at any given time if you're making money. That's something most of us freelancers don't know till tax time. It's fantastic. They've got a great dashboard. They've got accurate timekeeping. No more calculators, no more spreadsheets, no more receipts. Your life gets easier as FreshBooks lets you take your business to the next level. FreshBooks, used and trusted by small business owners in over 120 countries, handles all those currencies automatically. Their customer service from their folks up in Toronto is fantastic, the nicest people. You can phone them, email them, you can live chat them no matter what time. So they're always there for you, which is great. And if you are running a business and you are not using FreshBooks, do yourself a favor. Go to FreshBooks.com/MacBreak. You need to have your finger on the pulse of your business. You need to make your life better. You need to make it easier. You can do it right now. Go to FreshBooks.com/MacBreak. Do me a favor. There's a little place in the form where it says, how did you hear about us? Just please write MacBreak Weekly in for us. And then you'll get 30 days free to try it. FreshBooks.com/MacBreak. 30 days free if you tell them you heard it on MacBreak Weekly. We love FreshBooks. So, in the invite, it said by innovation only. And a number of pundits, Renee, have said, where was the innovation here? This is a TikTok phone. It's not the iPhone XS. It's the iPhone XSS.
They said the same. I mean, so I took issue with this when the Galaxy Note came out and the Galaxy S10, because people were like, I'm so bored with this now too. And I'm way too optimistic about technology to be bored by this kind of stuff. It's like we spent a decade making these things really, really good, and now we're starting to do a lot of fun things with them. But oh, they're still rounded rectangles. So I'm going to be all super, super cynical about it and think that makes me sound smart. And I just, drives me nuts.
You say innovation is making that extra camera truly useful. Part of a consistent, coherent, cohesive experience. It's the difference between a throwaway and a tool. Apple didn't make the first MP3 player. They made the iPod. Not the first smartphone, but the iPhone. Not the first tablet or smartwatch or wireless earbuds and on and on. Apple's innovation today remains the same as it's always been in packaging technologies in a way that provides the best experience possible for mainstream customers. And that's what they're doing here with Wide Angle. End of rant.
Like, for example, talked about it before. It's like all of these companies, like Google does this too. They work on very, very small, very, very internal things that just makes your life better. So you, like, you lose less photographs. You get the photograph you really want. The phone doesn't die. And like, there's all these things that they do that doesn't make the phone look like a triangle or a donut, but every day makes your life just a little bit less frustrating. And we turn around and go, oh, you're so boring.
It's so peak phone. I have to agree with you. After reading the reviews, I do feel like there is some really big stuff in here. There is some significant progress. Not enough, probably, if you have an iPhone XS Max, probably. But certainly if you have any older iPhone, right?
I don't know, though. Funnest thing. I put up a 5 extra battery life.
I know, even that alone. Yeah.
That's there's that part of me that wants to say, you know what? Your XS is fine. It's doing great. You don't need to upgrade this year. But there's that other part of me that goes, 5 extra hours is huge.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing that doesn't sound like innovation. That sounds like, oh, yeah, it's incremental improvement. But to remember that they had to change the operating system. They had to change the processor. They had to change the everything.
The panel
to make this work. That's innovation. I think that qualifies.
And I put up a Twitter poll because everybody was saying that they did, like, don't buy it. You don't need to upgrade. So I put up a poll saying, are you going? And they're like, yes. I'm talking about other people shouldn't do it. And I think the people who buy the XS, not that all of them are going to upgrade, because some people certainly buy a new phone every 4 years. But there are just some people who are geeks and always they buy 3 phones a year. Yeah. Like there are different rules for different people and how they choose to budget their money. And it's their business. And I feel like we shouldn't tech shame them sometimes.
Have you had a chance to play? Go ahead, Andy, and then Lori. Hold on, Lori. Go ahead, Annie.
Yep.
Yeah, and also this is a really great under the hood innovative upgrade. I will only say that they kind of stuck their neck out by putting innovation right there on the invitation, which means that you are going, okay, if you say that this is about innovation, we're gonna get out the innovation test kit and really look at everything that you're doing here. But that said, this isn't the sort of thing where you're I think that you're gonna feel as though you missed out by buying it this year instead of buying the iPhone 12 next year. The fact that they are really first off the blocks with Wi-Fi 6, the fact that they are doing ultra wide networking, that all these radios they put it underneath there that will not just give them great things to demo on launch day, but also a reason why they can say, oh, by the way, we're introducing this new feature that we couldn't have done if not for the fact that we had put this really cool new radio inside this handset, knowing that we're no way we can make this deadline in September, but for January, for iOS 13.2, for 13.1, you're going to continue to get value out of this phone. So no, I'm not disappointed with this phone at all. This is not even a talk prime. This is an excuse to kind of drop the TikTok paradigm entirely.
Yeah, that's a bad
paradigm.
There's
so many services now that allow you to upgrade your phone every year on sort of a lease-to-own plan. And I think that question of should I upgrade this year becomes a little less important when you're on an iPhone upgrade program or, you know, the AT&T Next or whatever your service is that you have. Like, you can just trade it in for another one. It's you know, you're continuing to pay for a phone, but if you kind of think of it as I'm leasing to get to the next phone, then yeah, every year you should upgrade, every single year. And in fact, this year, if you were on the 10R last year and you upgrade to the 11 this year, you're saving money because it's less expensive than last year's phone. So that's, you know, pretty awesome.
Yeah, good point. I bet it does sell a lot of the Apple iPhone Forever plans.
Yeah.
Because people aren't going to want these upgrades, I think. It's sufficient. Let's put it that way. It's a sufficient upgrade that it's something to make you lust for it, even if you decide to be fiscally prudent. Do you miss 3D Touch, Renee, or is the haptic touch good enough?
I thought I was going to because I really like 3D Touch and I really use it. And I know that I'm probably not
the majority.
Yeah, I'm the only one. But so there's two things that I do like about it. One is that Apple never pushed 3D Touch out past the iPhone, which meant like all the cool home screen shortcuts that you could use, all the stuff you could do with it, you just couldn't do it on the iPad. And then I would forget, you know, sometimes to do it. And also, there was a lot of collisions, like the difference between a long press and a deep press. It's easy for some people. It is really not easy for other people, that kind of muscle coordination or just eye hand coordination. So people were like, I just want to put this folder in jiggly mode and it won't do it. And I'm going to throw this phone if it did. Like it was really frustrating for some people. So what this does is it makes it all the same all across iOS 13 devices. It works on your iPad. The only difference is you do get that taptic feedback on the iPhone. And it feels about the same, and it does almost everything that 3D Touch used to do. The only things it doesn't do are the things that actually depended on real pressure data. So when you would hold the space bar, turn it into trackpad mode, and then deep press to alternate between text selection and cursor movement, you can't do that anymore. You have to use the two fingers like the iPad, and I find that harder on the iPhone screen. And also drawing apps could do sensitivity, on the iPhone. It was never great because, again, tiny screen, but they could do it, and that's gone now. So I demand a pencil in exchange.
I want no pencil. There was some hope that a Pro meant pencil, but apparently
every year.
Yeah, every year. I know. You draw.
It would be field notes, digital field notes. Notes connected to Dropbox. Yeah. It'd be so great.
I have yet to unholster my pencil on my Note 10 Plus, so I doubt I really use it on an iPhone.
It was a missile launcher.
Let's see what else. I want to make sure you gave it 4.5 out of 5. Why not a 5?
So, I mean, I do think that there's things that, you know, could be better. Like I do think USB-C, it's time for USB-C on the iPhone, especially the iPhone Pro.
I would have liked
and
that.
I say that not just because I want USB-C. Lightning was great because it did everything USB-C does now, most of the things at least, and it did it years before USB-C was ready to ship. So as an Apple user, I got the benefit of advanced technology two or three years before the consortium got their stuff together, but now it's together and it's still confusing. Like USBPD, Thunderbolt 3, USB 3.0, 3.14, it's a huge mess, but I can take an SSD drive and plug it into my iPad Pro and just use it. And I can't do that to my iPhone Pro. And I feel like now it's starting to be Lightning users who are losing out. And that to me is the point where you got to start flipping the switch.
Half a star for that.
Well, for that, and like there's just a couple things.
Go ahead, Laurie.
If you're thinking about the iPhone 11 as the phone for everyone, and you're thinking about the iPhone 11 Pro as the phone for sort of the tech nerds, then, you know, that should be USB-C. The iPhone 11 sticking with the Lightning makes a lot of sense. Not everybody switched over to USB-C yet, but people who want the Pro, they've probably got USB-C in a lot of their things. So to not give them that Pro level of connection, it seems like they really missed the mark on that one if they're trying to market it as a Pro, you know?
It just would have made my life easier. I wouldn't have to have different cables, different chargers, different, you know, setups.
Yeah.
Because everything else I have is C.
USB-C is still a mess, but most people wouldn't.
Well, but everything I have is C, and it everything charges. Charges is kind of like the lowest common denominator for C. So for me, charging. And then I use a USB-C YubiKey, and I still have to figure out how to do that. Yeah. Your 4.5 out of 5 is both for the iPhone 11 and the iPhone Pro. I should clarify, you do have
separate reviews. Rarely do 5s as well, so yeah, I'm always tentative.
Yeah. You got to save something for next time.
Well, it just feels like that's an ending. Like it feels to me like 5 is an ending, not a beginning.
Yeah. You grade on a curve.
You don't want Apple to get a swelled head.
That's right. Very exciting. Now, let's talk about 3.0 and 3.1 because that's a little confusing.
Yes.
The phone as shipped will ship with 3.0. The public beta is already to 3.1.
Yes.
When will 3.1 follow?
September 30th?
End of the month.
I think they said that?
Yeah, I think that's what they said. So what are we missing? Actually, Nilay Patel said something very strange in his Verge review. He said, I would wait to buy the iPhone till 13.1 comes out.
There's a couple things that are going to be missing, like the Shortcuts app doesn't have in 13.0 doesn't have some of the special automations that are going to be in 13.1. I can't remember the details off the top of my head, but Renee, you might be able to help me. Reminders is different in 13.1 versus 13.0, I believe, for tablets and iPhones.
iPadOS and macOS aren't shipping, so you have to be careful about what you decide to use is the tricky point, I think, for a lot of people.
So that's what it is. So 13.0, your phone is on 13.0, but if you have upgraded to if you're on the public beta of iPadOS, you've been following the upgrade, it's already on 13.1, which doesn't drop until the 30th. The iPadOS doesn't publicly drop at all until the 30th of September.
It's weird. I don't really understand what happened there.
This is the first time they've separated iOS for the iPad and the iPhone. So this is kind of new territory. We've had operating system drop on different days before. The Mac operating system doesn't always drop on the same day as iOS. And then there's TVS and WatchOS, which usually always come. So if you took iPad out of the equation, you'd still be getting what does happen often, which is iOS, WatchOS, and tvOS dropping all on the same day. And then macOS coming out a little bit later. Now we have iPadOS in the equation, and that's kind of throwing us all off because we're not used to our iPads and iPhones not upgrading on the exact same day. So this is what we're faced with. There's a lot of weird things about it that, it's going to be new and different this year. We're going to have a lot of things to try to figure out. One of the biggest being that if you are on iOS, if the public beta of iOS 13.1, and you get your new phone, you can't just dump it all over onto your new phone. You have to upgrade your new phone to the beta of 13.1 and then transfer all of your phone, your current phone to that phone if you're using a public beta or even a developer beta of 13.1 on the phone that you want to transfer all the information to. Sounds confusing, but So there's a lot going on there that has to be considered in terms of the betas versus what's coming out on Friday versus what's coming out the following Friday.
I mean, it's only 10 days later, so it's not...
You know. I was an animal and I chose an old backup and just restored from an older backup 3.0.
That's smart, Renee.
By the way, that reminds me.
I don't know.
We were asking this on iOS today. Clean install or restore from backup? What would you do with your new phone if you get one this Friday?
There's reasons to do both. I will sometimes just completely start clean.
I was thinking of doing
when a
that.
New beta comes
I haven't
out.
Done that in so long. I thought I'd just start fresh.
Yeah.
So yes, it's fun because it's like cleaning out the closet. It's absolutely not necessary, but it's definitely fun to do to kind of make your phone feel really brand new. But consider this, your workflow is going to be really slow until you get everything in place.
You're going to be up all night moving icons around.
Yeah, and you're just going to forget some things like, I forgot that I don't have, you know, Google Drive on this phone yet. So now I have to go download it and then I have to go sign in and then I have to use my two-factor authentication to get to it. So at first, it's a little... You have to have patience when you wipe it clean and start over. But I definitely recommend doing it every once in a while at least.
I haven't done it in so long. I thought I'd do it this time.
Yeah. Just don't be mad when you I don't even have my my password.
I install LastPass. I mean, have kind of an order of things that I do. So I think I don't know. Renee, you're going to probably you're just going to restore it, right?
I did one of each. I did one just so that I would have, and I try to do that because I also want to live on a crudgy old backup the way a normal person would and not like, you know, there's two things that bug me about reviews. One is when you can tell they didn't install anything on the device, and two, when you can see there's not even a SIM card in it. I don't even know what's going on there.
Well, by the way, there is an eSIM availability, so you don't have to have a SIM card in it.
Well, you can, but I mean, like the phone's not.
You gotta activate it. You gotta activate it.
Yeah. So I did one of each. I didn't do both of them because I just wanted one up and running so I could use it as a camera. And the other one, I wanted it to be my phone. And I'll add things back as I need to. Like I didn't reinstall all the apps on it because I think spring cleaning is good.
Yeah.
But it takes too long if I do all the phones brand new.
I also
so I'm just missing, like I can't even tweet it.
I think this is a big enough change in iOS, a big enough hardware change that I kind of want to go through the setup from scratch just to understand it better, to go through all the settings to
get
a better
idea.
There's
so many disclosures, Leo. Like there are so many things that tell you what they're doing now. It's
I mean,
we went from Mario to Zelda.
Yeah.
Like at some point we became Zelda.
Yeah. I am looking forward to iOS 13's privacy warnings. That's going to be a huge improvement. Only because we'll know what apps are doing. I mean, third-party apps are really the Achilles heel of iOS.
I
think that's a great move. The only risk is... notification fatigue sets in for certain users that they stop looking at these things. I'm a lot more concerned about it with Catalina than I am with iOS 13. But when you really are, hey, there's a kind of a funny looking dog outside right now. Like, hey, there's another funny looking dog, but it's a different kind of funny looking dog. That means that when you get an alert that, hey, there is an actual cougar outside and making moves towards your chicken coop, you clicked it before. Wait a minute, what? Cougar?
Huh? What? That cougar?
For me, it's Pokemon Go, because like every couple weeks it says Pokemon Go is using your location. Do you still want it to be using your location? And I say
annoying.
No, but I want to hatch these shiny regional eggs, so I have to.
Right.
And then I just press it, and it shows me, knows where I've been, and I'm just, that's so creepy, but I need my shiny regional eggs, so I don't know.
And that's why I will not be installing Pokemon Go or Harry Potter Wizards Unite on my new iPhone.
Oh,
in a nutshell. I'm throwing down the gauntlet.
Take care of all your needs.
I don't know. You had such plans for that extra 4 or 5 hours of battery life, you know?
Yeah. So you were saying, Renee, you actually went to an event on Saturday.
I did the Pokemon Go community day because, again, it's like it's just so much time and so much battery that it kills a phone faster than
that's
anything
a
else.
Really that's a better test than any other. If it survives a Pokemon Go event, man, that's really impressive. So one issue, of course, is that you won't get this U1 chip. None of the features are going to be available in 3.0.
13.0.
I keep saying three. I don't know why three. 13.
You loop back around.
It's an unlucky number, you know. Jason Snell has a good... By the way, Jason, happy fifth anniversary for Six Colors. He celebrated on the
16th. Yes.
That's really awesome.
Congratulations.
Great article by Jason. The U1 chip in the 11 is the beginning of an ultra-wideband revolution. Renee, what is UWB? What is U1? What is happening?
So it's a very precise positioning system. So basically the example that everyone's using right now is if you, Andy, and Lori are standing on the other side of the room, I could point my iPhone specifically at you and AirDrop would know to prioritize you without me having to go through the list and sort of find you. We just say, oh, you're pointing at Leo. You want to send this to Leo. Nice. And you can do like this cool, you know, zapping motion with your phone. And nice. it does that. Of course, all the dreams and expectations are that Apple is going to bake this into many, many more things, including that those tags that we didn't see at the event this time. But you being able to find something with a very high level of granularity, even indoors, is sort of the holy grail for positioning. Everything from, you know, I'm going to Twit headquarters, how do I find the desk that Leo told me to sit at today, to where's my parking spot, to I'm going to the mall, you know, where's my kid, all these sorts of things. It handles them internally the way the GPS has been handling them externally.
Yeah. So
and also, like pitching also, oil. And imagine being in a room with a smart speaker and just pointing it at the smart speaker as opposed to here is a list of available speakers for you to connect to. It's such an important step to omit if you want to make these things ubiquitous.
All right. Will they put U1 chips in all future Apple devices, including Macs?
I sure hope so.
Sounds like it. Sounds like a T2 kind of thing.
It's a feature that spawns other features. So, especially when they put it in the hands of developers, you get an app like Halide Camera that really gives you the example of what if a company can put really good hardware features and APIs into a system, and then the built-in app that it gives you takes advantage of it, or the publicized feature takes a good advantage of it. But wait until you get it in the hands of somebody who is someone like the developers of Halide that is weak. Can now make the most awesome camera app that cannot be matched on any other platform everywhere, because we're going to dig into what this hardware can do, and we're going to come up with ideas that are either too risky for Apple or that Apple had never considered. So this is why I hope that this becomes a feature of every single Apple product that comes out there. That could be a real switch sort of feature that, oh wow, why is it that your products are so much easier to connect to each other and are so talk to each other so much more naturally than my mixture of products from three different manufacturers at home. It's like, well, because Apple has this quote standard and quote that only works with other Apple products. And I hate lock-in. I hate when you a feature that might have been developed so that any developer or any hardware platform could support it is only supported by one. But if it's good enough and I drop my phone, then maybe I will replace the Android phone with an iPhone if I've been at a friend's house too often and been too jealous.
Yeah, by the way, I should point that out. Andy is an outlier here. He is not buying the new iPhone because he uses an Android phone.
Yeah, I hope to get one in for review in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Usually I wait until the second wave anyway. But I will say that a lot of the reasons why I switched to Android in 2013 are either now irrelevant or mitigated by other advantages of the iPhone platform. So I'm not saying that I'm planning to switch this year, but I'm saying that this is the year that when I get my review unit for the next 30 or 60 days, I will be thinking, now, Andy, imagine a world in which you can have this phone forever.
Yeah.
and because this is also like the year that I do have like the money specifically like under the mattress for like a new Pixel, because I'm still running the Pixel 1 and the Pixel 4 has come out this year. It's like... There's going to be a time where I'm going to have both phones and I'm going to be like, you know what? I hate in like principle. but this is how these things work. Again, in principle, I absolutely hate lock-in, but I have to also say that as a consumer, sometimes you want the practical solution as opposed to the principle. And the thing that is really getting me sort of one of the things that's getting me really interested in looking at the iPhone as a consumer again is if I had an iPhone, I could have an Apple Watch and not have to only use it just as a detached fitness watch that only syncs back when I fire up my get back home and fire up my my iPhone 7, which is which is the latest one that I own.
That's how they get you.
Which is not bad. I mean, this is in a way, I don't want to be complaining that God, how horrible of Apple to make such wonderful products that I actually want to buy them. nonetheless, the citizen activist journalist and myself saying, naughty, naughty Apple, you could easily make this Apple Watch Android compatible, particularly as you're assuring people that you don't need to keep it attached to your phone, iPhone, day in and day out. Shame, shame. Yeah, I want the titanium black and also the shame, shame.
Andy, what are some of the features or some of the reasons that you switched in 2013? You kind of casually said like some of those aren't really relevant today. What, like, give me an example of what made you switch then that isn't really relevant today?
For one thing, like sharing data from one app to another was an absolute mess. I like the changing of keyboards. I like the ability to have more control over my phone and make it do more interesting things. Now that they've really upgraded the sharing system, now that they've really updated the notification, and again, we're talking about 2013 versus 2019. They've updated the notification system. It's as good as anything else. I like the fact that Shortcuts gives me a lot of that control that I was missing from the iPhone. I have been missing from the iPhone for years, the ability to simply, I want my phone to work the way that I want it to work and not the way that Apple has a vision for how I should want it to work. There'd still be a lot of things I would miss. And at the top of that list would probably be the Google Assistant, because really the number of times where I mean, my latest favorite feature of it is just if there's something on the screen that you want to act upon, I don't have to like highlight it and then like do a Google search for this or do whatever. I can just simply long press on the home button and it will say, here's the restaurant that's mentioned in this article. And if you touch this button, we'll go to like the reviews page for it. Touch this button to make a reservation for tonight for this restaurant. And the number of times where it's been like, this is exactly how every single phone should work. Then you know that I don't want to. I'm not interested in prepositions. I know that, but here's proper names, here are place locations, here are phone numbers. The number of times where we were having a discussion. I was out to dinner with some friends and we didn't know there's a dish that involved porchetta, and there was some difference of opinion at the table what porchetta actually was, and the ability to simply look at the menu, again, long press on the button, and hey, here's a picture of what porchetta looks like. It's like, okay, that's, I guess, unless you want to fight with Google. It's such an Apple sort of feature where you're not impressed with it. It's just a tool that you use and that you desperately miss when it's gone. But that said, there's a lot of stuff going on in Apple right now that makes me really keen to really think hard about if I might not be happier with an iPhone right now, camera being one of them too.
So you mentioned Halide. I was kind of curious, have you played with this thing that Apple showed off on the stage using Filmic of recording with multiple lenses simultaneously on the phone? Can you do that yet, Renee?
It's in beta. I don't have the beta. I don't know if Lori does, but we got to try it at the hands-on area, and at four cameras, all three back angles, and the cell. We could film a tech video, Leo, where we have the hero shot, the close-up, the set shot and our reaction all at once.
Can you do more than two? You can do how many lenses at once?
There's conflicting. We were told both four and two, and I don't have the beta, and I haven't heard back from the developer yet.
I can't wait to see that.
We were definitely told both.
And for people like you and me who do video, that's going to be really an amazing feature. We were talking about it on iOS today, and it sounds like it's going to be an iOS 13 feature. It's not just going to be on the new phones. Yeah. Even last year's iPhones will do this, which just shows you how much headroom is in these processors?
That's, or it could that, be that maybe the new ones do 4 and those do 2. I don't know yet.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I think what it comes down to is Apple's opening up the ability for developers to
use the API.
More than one camera.
Yeah,
so even the 10R supposedly, which it would be the front-facing camera and the back-facing camera would be the two cameras that they would allow them to put that into their system for, which I think
I was
is
just assuming
really great.
The new high-speed storage plus super high-speed processors, but if it can be done on the 10R too, wow. Yep.
It might really be bad for...
Might not work well on those, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it gets back experience. To what we were discussing... Gets back to what we were discussing earlier, features that be that enable and embolden other features, like the just simply the ability to have desktop class storage speeds where you can now write to storage so damn fast that a lot of the bottlenecks that were that would stop developers from shipping a product are now like, well, it was kind of okay functional when I was developing this for iOS 12 and older hardware, but now it's not ridiculous. It actually works. So now we can actually think about things like saving multiple streams at the same time and just letting people make their edits later, or even better, just an AI powered app that will automatically just give you a first pass of select wide shots. It's using a lot of that spatial awareness to say, okay, I can sense that there's more than one voice, so I'm going to automatically cut to the wide shot for this. Now I can sense that there's only one person talking, so now I'm going to cut to the single that I've set up, or I'm going to cut to a 4K in which I'm doing a dynamic crop. There's so much stuff that you can do just because of this basic feature that's been baked right in and made available to everybody.
Wow. Anything to say about the processor? It was interesting to see that, and we talked about this last week, Apple brought up the chip guy onto the stage. First time I can remember anybody from the chip team on stage. You probably can't tell just using the phone that this is this amazing Bionic, A13 Bionic, or can you?
So my trick is usually to try to peg it. Like with the iPhone 7, you could peg it with portrait mode. And then with the iPhone 10, you could peg it sometimes with Animoji, dependent because it was trying to just do so many calculations. And I have not been able to peg this one yet. I've tried different, like night mode. I'm trying to see if I can do it with night mode because I'm not quite sure what the load is. But one of the things that Apple started doing was not building processors for the tasks of the current phone, but for they want like 3 or 4 years of headroom so that you can keep getting updates and the phones will work really well. It's part of that whole initiative.
Yeah, that's what I took from that filmic thing, that it'll work on last year's phones means there was a lot of headroom in the A12 Bionic. You know, a lot of capability. Yeah, one more thing, they kept saying Wi-Fi 6, that's the standard formerly known as 802.11ax.
Yeah.
But you'd have to have a Wi-Fi 6 router to take advantage of that. They will be coming out later, I guess, in 2020 from most people.
Yes. But think about enterprise. Your office suddenly gets an upgrade, and suddenly your phone lasts a lot longer, and your devices last a lot longer.
And can do gigabit Wi-Fi. Yeah, that would be very interesting. So you probably didn't get a chance to test that, Renee.
No, I don't have a... I want one, but I don't have one.
Don't have one. I think a number of companies have announced TP-Link Netgear. So there will be Wi-Fi 6 routers someday soon, and you'll be glad then that your phone has Wi-Fi 6.
Will they be HomeKit compatible though?
I don't know. I don't care. All right, let's take a break, and then I want to talk about arcade because some of us already have it, and some of us will be getting it on Thursday. Some of us won't be coming to work on Friday. Our show today...
That's another reason to switch to iPhone. I don't want to have to carry my iPad everywhere to get
arcade. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, baby. Our show today brought to you by IT Pro TV. You want to know why I got into this business? Because I love technology, and I always wanted to be able to play with the latest gear. You know, I think that's why a lot of people get in IT, right? Because you love technology, and you always want to be able to play with the latest gear. Like, maybe that Wi-Fi 6 would be kind of cool. If you are watching this show, if you watch any of our shows, you absolutely have the makings of an IT professional. But just like the Tin Woodman, there's one thing those IT pros have that you don't have. No, it's not a clock. It's a certificate. Actually, I guess it was the scarecrow that needed the diploma. With IT Pro TV, you're studying to get the certs you need to get the job you want. But the thing about it, you're going to love this training so much. It's so effective, so entertaining. Sure, they're getting you ready for the IT Pro tests, the IT certificates like CompTIA, but you're going to keep watching even after you get the job because it helps you get your skills up to get a better job or to get a raise at your current job. IT Pro TV has 4,000 hours plus of IT training available. They're the official video training partner for CompTIA. In fact, they have 12 CompTIA on-demand courses, A+, Network Plus, Security Plus. So you can get those. Those are probably the most in-demand certificates. But they have them all. They have them all. It is an amazing place to go. You will really love it. And they have a standard membership, which is video only, or a premium membership, which is the video that includes also labs and practice tests. I tell you what, go right now to IT Pro and sign up. You'll get 30% off either membership forever if you visit go.itpro.tv/MacBreak and use the code MacBreak30 at checkout. go.itpro.tv/MacBreak. Offer code MacBreak30 for an additional 30% off the lifetime of your subscription. Incidentally, they asked me to mention we went to Gainesville to visit their new studios last year when they opened them up. Man, they're nice. They have 5 studios. They're streaming live all the time. They have so much capacity. They also are available if you want to create your own training videos. You can use their team or bring your own host. They have an amazing facility from planning to shooting to post-production. You get the services you want. You can execute on your video strategy easily. Multiple HD studios, HD robotic cameras, DMX dimmable lighting, LED lighting, overhead talkback monitor, the voice of God, direct live streaming, and a whole lot more. So if you, this is the IT Pro setup, and you can now use it for your own training videos if you want as well. I just love these guys at IT Pro TV. You're going to love IT Pro TV. I want you to try it. Visit go.itpro.tv. And use the code MacBreak30. You'll receive 30% off on your subscription. And not just for the first month or year, but as long as you stay active. And you know what? You're going to want to do that. Because once you get the job, then you want to get better at the job. And it's great for that too. IT Pro TV. Build or expand your IT career. And you'll enjoy every step of the journey along the way. IT Pro TV. go.itpro.tv/MacBreak. Offer code MacBreak30 for 30% off. Who's been playing arcade? Show of hands. I know you have, Lori.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm playing some arcade right now.
Had a moment to do it because he's been busy writing, but I bet you're going to sit down and start playing some games as soon as you get a nap.
The thing that convinced me is I was talking to my little 10-year-old godson on the weekend, and he wasn't sure about it. And then his brother goes, "That's because you download every game that you see an ad for." And it turned out he had like 200 games on his phone. That just because every time an ad pops up in a game he's playing and he gets frustrated, he just hits that button and downloads it.
It's the next one.
And that just scared the crap out of me. So I'm like, no, you're going on arcade immediately.
So some of us are already playing it because if you're on the iOS 13 beta, you get it. It's simple. You go to the App Store and all of a sudden that arcade button that's been useless is now really doing something and showing you the games. I counted 59 games this morning. There may be more. It's going to take them about a month to get to the 100-plus games. Games in every category. I'll tell you my takeaway on this. This is going to kill gaming on iOS because why would you do anything but pay $15 and play these games? They're fantastic.
$5, yeah.
I mean, what did I say? 15? Five.
The only reason.
I think, you know, the only games that are going to survive are the games that are big name titles that'll do well because everybody will want to play the latest, right?
Well, also the ones that are multi-platform, the ones that are not just that can also be offered for Android phones as well. It was an interesting extra tidbit that we learned that it's exclusives, meaning exclusives to phone platforms only, and that because I can imagine that any developer, any team that puts the amount of work that is involved in creating a game, that games that are as polished as these, you kind of want to release a version for the Switch. It seems as though there's a lot of money to be had there, but
they still can, right?
Exactly. For other platforms, not for other phone handsets. But okay. there are a lot of developers who absolutely want to target Android. Number one, because they can get away with a lot more, and secondly, because there are a lot of people who don't have a lot of people who have Android handsets that don't necessarily have money for iPhones, but they do have money for $1.99 for every single loot box that comes along.
This is, I mean,
my take on it was that these are the games that are made by the developers who, you know, they would not be able to survive making these games for iOS or Android in the open market. There's just like there wouldn't be enough pay to play. Like the gating would be obnoxious. They'd have to deform their game too much. They wouldn't have the money to do it, to take the risk for it. And that this just like because there's some really cool, moody, experimental games in here.
Yeah, there's some really odd games. That's right. That's right. Yeah. So this is what the this is what the golf, which I is not the first one you might pick up because you might think it's a golf game. It's really fun. Now I'm playing with bowling balls. I wish I had. Oh, jeez, Louise! This is the daily challenge.
Weird seeing all the PS4 and Xbox controllers. Putting on iPhone, on iPad, on Mac.
I dug up my old Steel Series that I bought for the Apple TV and never used, and it works great with it. And a lot of these games are really. Better with a controller, although you said that you were playing Oceanhorn, Laurie. Was that the one you wanted?
Yes, I spent hours playing it last night.
It's a really fun
game.
All
of my everything ran out of battery. I was just sitting there playing it. I'm just like, oh, this is so much fun.
So this is a game that was a AAA title, really, for iOS some years ago. This is Oceanhorn 2. It's running on the Unreal Engine, so it's some of the games are graphically very simple. They all have beautiful music. Yep. I thought that was interesting. But this one is...
I'm blanking on its name, but the card game where you're going through the memories of a troubled child. Like, it's just so interesting, the choices that people made.
Yeah, that's the
beautiful
that's
and moody.
A 90s card game. There's Rayman, there's Lego, so there's some big names. This is an odd one that probably a lot of people won't download because it's a text game. It's called Dear Reader, and I bet you didn't see this one. Laurie.
I did. And actually, I haven't downloaded it yet, but I was definitely interested in it because I do like word games.
I do
like
too.
This.
Yeah, so I do crosswords and stuff.
It looks really fun.
It's weird. It's a strange, there's a bookstore. Again, none of this has in-app purchases or micro purchases. Oh, that's coming soon, I guess. So you can wander and not feel too... You know, like I'm going to spend money here. Should I play? Oh, I have to earn some ink. That's to buy it. That's the way you buy it. So I've been playing Pride and Prejudice. I've got Alice in Wonderland. No, you laugh, it's Andy, like but I know.
No, I'm laughing because I'm entertained by the concept of this game.
Playing Pride and Prejudice. So I'm on chapter 5. Lizzie, Lydia, and Jane. These are the daughters. Let's begin. And it's just a. This is the rearrange game where you have to touch lines to exchange them. And I guess some of these lines are out of order. Other girls. Nope. Oh, I'm losing some ink. I can't. I don't.
Oh, no.
The pressure. Recommend them, replied he. They are all silly and ignorant. There we go. Like other girls, but. Okay, there we go. And then this with this. Oh, thank God. I gained some ink. Ink that I had lost. Okay.
I imagine that on expert mode, you've got Ulysses and you've got to impose set structure on it.
Yes, that would be fun, wouldn't it? I haven't gotten far enough to know if you've got Ulysses, but wouldn't that be fun? Yeah, this is kind of completely not an arcade game. This is just a word game, but fun. They do download just like any app would. In fact, there is no search in the arcade tab, which is a little weird. So if you're trying to find a game, you actually search in the regular app store. Maybe if you type arcade in the name of the game. There are some odd games. This is, to me, not a real sweet spot game. It's called Bleak Sword. It's an 8-bit game, and it's really clearly designed for the phone because it's in portrait mode. But it's a little odd. Devolver is one of the titles. That has one of the studios that has quite a few games on here. I did notice, Renee, that some of these studios or some of these games say produced by Apple, which I'm going to take to mean Apple gave them some bucks to do this, right?
Yeah, I get this strange vibe that Apple feels, and they should, responsible for the current state of gaming, at least co-responsible, because the entire, there was this race to the bottom and pay to play and all this stuff just happened. And there are people like to knock Apple and say they're not, you know, they don't get gaming, but a lot of them are gamers. They just thought that casual gaming was the sweet spot, and it hasn't, it probably hasn't played out the way everybody hoped it would. And this is sort of like, with great power comes great responsibility, Spider-Man mea culpa, where they're trying to invent something just nice that people can play.
That is one of the concerns I have, though. Apple really is capable, as you can tell, by changing small rules in the App Store, of changing the whole ecosystem, as you pointed out. Oh, I lost.
It's partially Apple, but it's like us and developers. It's like what happens when like wooden toys don't exist anymore. And it, like when you take away scarcity, you come to an age of ubiquity. We have now pop apps and pop games. And that's a very different market than developers had, where there was huge constraints on software still.
Right. I worry that this is going to change things, though. That, as I said, this is going to change the experience of game developers in the App Store. If you're not an arcade, do you even have a shot? Why would I, if I pay $5, I got 100 games.
Two shots. I am satisfied. And the cross platforms, I think, will still do very well.
I'm totally satisfied.
I also think there's a lot of game developers and larger companies that don't want to participate in arcade, so they're going to work harder to provide good quality games for people to play instead of those sort of throwaway, you know, download and play and give me all your money games. They're just going to have to work harder. You know, the sort of normal now today is download a game for free and then spend $500 micro purchasing your way through the game. And I think Apple Arcade will change the face of that by saying, stop doing that and make good games that people want to play and they're willing to pay upfront for. I personally will pay $5 a month for Apple Arcade, and I will go buy other games for $5, $10, $15, and then I'll go buy games on my Nintendo Switch for $60, because there's different levels of game
players.
Well,
I don't deny that it's not going to hurt Switch or Xbox or PC gaming. I'm not saying that. I feel like, though, it's going to very much change the ecosystem on the Apple game store. I mean, I don't know why you would buy anything but this. You pay the $5 a month, and you've got more games than you could possibly play.
Well, for some people, that's enough. But for others, they want more than just what's going to be available in the App Store.
I think you're going to see a complete decimation of the game, of non-arcade games.
I think that there are still two big questions yet to be answered, or at least I don't know the answers to. Number one, how much money is each developer going to make off of this contribution to arcade? Yeah. And secondly, how much control is Apple going to inflict upon the creator of this game? All the way from, hey, your music track is okay, but it's not great, and it doesn't take advantage of this new spatial sound system, so we're not going to let you you're not going to let you approve it for our system until you fix these things that we don't like about your game, all the way to, we think this is sort of a touchy issue and we don't really want to, it's sort of your game is a little bit icky, and
it's not
going to
hurt
wondering,
it's not going to hurt Fortnite. I grant you that,
right?
It's not going to hurt Fortnite, but if I'm a developer, I'm going to look at another platform at this point.
It's also possible that Apple Arcade is going to be sort of like how every actor, every like big time actor, kind of their dream is to make three movies in a row that are superhero movies that make $1 billion at the box office, that guarantee that they don't get paid a penny less than $20 million plus 5% of gross receipts. But they also want to make the fourth movie to be an Oscar sort of contender movie that will make absolutely nothing but will elevate their profile and their prestige. It's possible that this is going to be a game studio that really wants to make, here's the beautiful game that we can't possibly put before have a success with in any other fashion than with Apple Arcade, but we also have our own work that we can't make a game like Cuphead underneath the Apple Arcade system, so we're going to do it that way.
Does the
mermaid really have to be wearing a seashell bra? Can she be wearing sort of a onesie? It's like,
I just think it's really important to understand that Apple did change the gaming space with just micropayments, with, you know, small rules that Apple makes are gonna absolutely change things. And this is not just a small thing. This is really a whole new world for gaming. And I don't know. Carsten, what about your kids? Do they ever play iOS games? Do you think?
We are an Android household.
Okay, so you don't.
But if we were an Apple family, we would absolutely have this.
Yeah, you get what, 5-6 people, $5 a month? Yeah,
there is no question in my mind that.
Unlimited games. There's games in almost every, not every category, but many different categories. So if you're a tower defense gamer, or if you like platformers, if you like 8-bit games, there's choices for you. There's sim style games. There's nothing like Minecraft. There's nothing like Fortnite.
Yet.
Well, but see, I wonder if Apple, I don't see any first person shooters exactly. There are weapons, but they're all kind of like, you know, shooting a pie cannon.
Yeah.
I don't think these games are going to focus on Minecraft and first-person shooter games.
They're arcade games.
That last forever.
They're arcade games.
Yeah. They're going to be games that you'll play for a while, and then next month's games will come out, and then you'll play those games.
By the way, they do have multiplayer, it seems to be. We were playing Hot Lava earlier, and it looked like there were other people jumping over the lava in the room with us. And there are definitely scores of other people. I was playing this is the Frogger game that they showed off, which is a heck of a lot of fun. They've really actually taken Frogger to the next level. But I was playing a fun game where you're doing kind of solving railroad. Here, I'll show you. It's like a railroad game, except it's not. It's a highway game. Where was it? Mini motorways. Where you're creating an urban landscape, and you get to choose the city, and they already have top scores. So there are other people playing these. This is Los Angeles, and I've got to build these freeways. There's, you know, you get parts. The week is going by. I've got 46 cars, but I'm starting to get some congestion over here in the red. I could get more red people. Let me drive. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do here. Let me build a highway around here. Oh, I got to destroy that now. That's a waste. Oh, I feel like time is. Oh, I'm off the board. Oh, anyway, you get the idea. This is my kind of game. I like puzzle games like this. I don't know. I think this is going to have a big impact on gaming. In general, I'm not sure exactly what the impact will be. But you're right. It's going to be more casual gamers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you play any, Renee, or you didn't have time?
I played them. They had some demos set up that I had a chance to play, and that was fun. I was terrible at almost all of them, so I got other people to play when I was shooting my video. But I did manage to fall off of very many things.
Yes, there's a lot of falling.
I get squashed by very many things.
A lot of melting and falling and squashing.
Yes.
By the way, Chris Velasco for Engadget also has his iPhone. His review is up. We will have him on Twitter on Sunday to talk well about this, so we will have more going on. You have an article, Everything Apple Killed After the iPhone 11 Event.
We put it up every year, just letting everybody know what's no longer available, which actually wasn't this much this year. It was somewhat expected. You know,
I thought it was odd that they killed Series 4 watches but kept Series 3 and 5.
Well, they kind of do that with having sort of their entry-level priced device, you know, they've done that with iPhone in the past too, with SE and the 5C. They would keep it a lot longer, and even 6, they would keep it a lot longer than, you know, even though they're upgrading the line. So with the Apple Watch, the 3 is the sort of entry level priced one. It's smaller. It doesn't have quite as much going on.
Yeah. And well, it's definitely a bigger difference between the 3 and the 5 than there is from the 4 and the 5. There's only a slight difference.
Yeah. Exactly.
They killed the 7. They did not kill the SE. They are still selling the 8. They killed the 10S and 10S Max. So it goes right from 8 to 10. Do they still do the 10?
And you also have to point out that this is just what
this line.
This is stuff they killed off that wasn't killed off earlier.
Yeah, so it's not a list. So the 10 wasn't available that last
anyway,
year.
So
and the SE wasn't available last year either.
So there's no SE?
Correct.
But there is an 8 and 8
it depends
plus.
Where, though, because sometimes they'll keep fulfilling for carriers or certain regional vendors. Like, you know, like the 10 might still be lurking around in India or some other country.
Right.
It's just what Apple themselves doesn't sell anymore.
So the base right. model, the cheapest iPhone will be an iPhone 8. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Correct, yeah.
And then there'll be no 10 or 10S. So you'll have to just jump right to the 11. Oh,
correct.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the 10R.
The 10R is continued. Okay, good.
Yes.
So iPhone 8, 8 Plus,
that's right.
10R,
right. I forgot.
11, 11 Pro. Okay. So that's,
and
a, I mean, that's
dropped
a lot.
They dropped the price of the ones
yeah,
that
significantly.
Were around last year, too.
Yeah.
So the 10R, for example, like until 7 days ago, the 10R was a $749
right.
iPhone, and now it's only $699. So, you know, they've dropped the price of it to make it more enticing. Or, I'm sorry, they dropped it $150. It's $599 now,
yeah.
correct? So, you know, that was the top of the line phone until just a few days ago. So the fact that it's so much less expensive is really cool for people who still want a really nice, fast working phone. It was the most popular phone last year, and like the most popular phone until last week.
Right.
So, you know, like it's a great price for a phone that's still great quality.
I think a lot of people will want the 10R. That's a really good choice if you're price.
Yeah.
Apple now has, for a long time we said, oh, Apple isn't never going to sell cheap phones. But you know what? If you look at the iPad, if you look at the iPhone, they really do have a pretty broad lineup. They don't have a $50 yeah. phone, but that 10R is a very affordable phone.
And an affordable yeah. watch and an affordable iPad.
Yeah,
iPad, yep.
Yep.
That's why I really still think that one of the greatest announcements collectively of last week was the fact that you can still make the complaint that Apple is not as available to people who have less money than other makes, models, and brands are. But that argument has been blunted quite a bit. When you have a tablet that's as good as Series 6 or Series 7 iPad. Seven. For $329, where you can't really point at something and say that, well, this is where they cut corners. When you have when they have them like keeping an older but still very, very functional watch on the price list and cutting the price down to make it more accessible. When you have a mid-range Android phone now having to compete with Apple's top-of-the-range iPhone from just a year ago, that's real progress and something I'm really, really happy to see.
There's no really way to know how well these are selling. I mean, I guess all you can do is look at how the shipping dates move out. Do we have a sense that these new phones are selling well? I know Ming-Chi Kuo says that
yeah.
the iPhone 11 Pro and the Pro Max have accounted for 55% of pre-orders, but I don't know how he would know that.
I mean, smoke and mirrors, but usually the higher priced ones go on pre-order day because it's the nerds who do a lot of the pre-ordering. And then like the 10R was just steady month after month after month.
But to know how well they're doing, you'd have to know how many they made.
And some people do they call stores and they ask them how many there, you know, but Apple sells most of them, I think, especially in the Western Hemisphere. And they're very tight lipped about that
stuff. Right.
But the analysts have pretty good models by now. You can't necessarily accept their words as gospel, but they're selling financial advice based on the value of this information that they're providing to clients. So it's pretty good, but it's not worthless, but you should. It's an interesting data point, let's just say.
I just never know if they're selling it to inform clients or they're selling it to get me to short so their clients can get out from underwater.
That's why reputation is everything. That's why you have to point to a track record.
There is other news. Apple has put $250 million into Corning. Corning, of course, makes Gorilla Glass. They'd put $200 million into them earlier. Now another $250 million. That's part of their advanced manufacturing fund. Apple's been doing this with other partners for some time now. But that's, I guess it's kind of proof, even though Apple doesn't use the phrase Gorilla Glass, that that's what's being used in these iPhones.
It's funny. So they work with Corning to make something that they put in iPhones that is, when their window of exclusivity ends, is called the new Gorilla Glass.
Right. Okay. So it's the next Gorilla Glass then.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll be announced as Gorilla Glass 7 or something in like 3 to 6 months.
Okay. That makes sense. How about the new AppleCare monthly payment? Is there anything to say about that? They've decided to, if you want to go monthly, you can keep it going past 2 years if you want.
I like it.
I wonder how that works out in terms of getting your new phone. The reason that AppleCare seemed to have worked in the past is your limited time kind of takes care of your phone for the most part,
right,
until you upgrade to a new one. So if you're, you know, a holdout, if you keep an iPhone a lot longer, like a 6S or 6S Plus, you know, how does that work as it gets to the end of the life of that phone in terms of, you know, Apple sort of, they put certain devices into the, we don't repair these anymore kind of world. And it does say in the terms and conditions that they will just cancel your AppleCare and give you 30 days notice that they're going to cancel it. But it's interesting to see that's a warranty for your iPhone that never ends in a way.
And it acknowledges that people are keeping their iPhones longer, but it is, by the way, not cheaper to do it monthly. It's $8 a month for an iPhone XR or $150 for 24 months. So it's not inconsiderably more expensive if you do it monthly. I paid $199 for a 2-year extension on the Pro Max, iPhone 11 Pro Max. I don't remember what the monthly was, but should people get the monthly if they think they're going to keep the phone more than 2 years? Is that the point of it?
I think so. Yeah. If okay. You know, if I had a phone that I knew I was keeping for four, if year three comes along and I'm getting close to that point where, you know, what if something goes wrong with my phone? And then I can't fix it after my AppleCare is gone. This allows me to have the security of knowing that if something were to happen, if, you know, the port breaks or the button falls off, that I can still go back to Apple and get a repair and not have it cost a fortune. It would, you know, kind of fit within the repair cost of things. Broken screen, for example, that you could go back into Apple after your normal AppleCare would have expired and get that screen repaired or replaced for that same price with AppleCare. So this seems like a really good idea for people who want to keep a phone a long time and don't feel particularly safe or comfortable going to third-party repair shops. They can just continue to take it to Apple, and it won't cost as much as it would to take it to Apple outside of warranty.
I neglected to mention that the arcade is available to some early users of iOS 13, but everybody's going to get it Thursday, right, on the 19th, yeah, when iOS 3.0 comes out. It is $4.99.
Sorry.
You're right. Thank you. No, correct me, but I don't know why I keep saying 3. 13. Can we just take 10 off of everything and start over?
I was just thinking about this. We
just call it X.
We live in a world. We live in a world right now where macOS, Windows, and Android are all on 10.
10.
All at the same time.
10. We're all 10s.
Even the oldest operating systems and the newest ones.
Even Samsung Note is 10. Even Galaxy is 10. It's all 10.
Yeah.
10's the right number. 10.
Yes.
iPhone 13. Well, iOS 13 will come out on Thursday, and so will your arcade, just so you know.
But it won't be available to iPad users because iPad OS doesn't come out until the 30th of September.
So I'm glad I'm on there.
Guess, right?
And we will have a review of Apple Arcade on Hands-on Tech.
Yeah, we spent, Mike and I spent 54 minutes of our hour-long show iOS Today playing games, and so we're going to put a big chunk of that on Hot, and then some of it will be on iOS.
Somebody
today
has to, Leo.
It was so much fun. So if you want to see more of those games before it comes out, Renee, if one were to have a Apple Watch Series 5, when would one's embargo lift?
You know, the Apple people had them on immediately after the event, and none of them have written anything yet. Can you believe it?
I haven't seen any reviews yet, so I feel like the embargo for the 11 lifted today. Maybe the embargo for the Apple Watch would lift tomorrow. It's normally like on a Wednesday.
Gazette would have had something last week. They're all sleeping on the job.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good non-answer. We'll be watching. We'll be watching. For
you just
got to
pull the tiger's tail, don't you, Lou?
I have
just
to.
Pull it.
I have to.
I think if there was an embargo lifting tomorrow, Rene wouldn't be here. He'd be
I guess he'd be writing and videoing.
I don't know.
Well, Lori Gill called it on the invite date, so I'm going to just go with Lori. If Lori says so, that's right.
My strategy.
Let's take a break. Our picks of the week coming up as we wrap up this very special Mac Break Weekly. Really fun to have Renee Ritchie back and Lori Gill back from the Apple event. Andy and Akko, we're just here all the time. That's our job. That's what we do. Our show today brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Actually, Doc Rock was fun last week. I really enjoyed him. Brought to you by ZipRecruiter. It is the best way to hire. We just hired a production assistant. All right, Miles is brand new. How did we find him? Yeah, it was pretty easy. ZipRecruiter. See, here's the deal. When you're down a person, it's important, right, that you find the right person. You don't want to rush into it because hiring the right person is critical. A bad employee is not a good thing. A great employee can make a big difference in your company, no matter what the position. So there's that. You want to do it right. But at the same time, you're also working extra hard because you're down a person. You're like in the employee penalty box. You know, so that's the time to go to ZipRecruiter. Let's figure the right person's out there somewhere. How do you reach them? No matter where they are, ZipRecruiter is the best way because you post once on ZipRecruiter and you're posting to 100 plus job sites, plus social media like Twitter and Facebook. So you're getting that word out everywhere. And then something magical happens. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people in their big database of resumes that have the right experience, then invites them to apply to your job. So it means when we post on ZipRecruiter, we get really good candidates right away, on average, in just a day. Hiring, you know, you need it to happen fast. They have, you've probably seen the ads with Dylan Miskovitz, Cafe Altura. He had to hire a director of coffee. Where do you find a director of coffee? It's an organic coffee company. He was having a hard time finding qualified candidates. He switched to ZipRecruiter, found his new director of coffee in just a few days. Same. Our experience has been exactly the same. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Dylan said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. I'll say the same. It's really great. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter free at our web address, special address, ZipRecruiter.com/MacBreak. ZipRecruiter.com/MacBreak. You're letting them know you saw it here. And, of course, we thank them for their support. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter.com/MacBreak. ZipRecruiter really is the smartest way to hire. Thank you, ZipRecruiter. I'm going to start picks. I never get to start. I always end. I'm going to start.
Yay. Do it.
I was just really pleased to see, and I don't know when this came out, but do you remember a little text editor for Mac OS called TextMate? Do you remember
yes.
that? It was the greatest, right? It was the best Ruby editor. I just loved it. Not only is it still around, they just released the final 2.0. It's been in beta for some time. TextMate lives from Macromates. It's free. It's got a whole bunch of great tools and plugins. I have always loved it. And I just want to let everybody know, I thought it was long gone. It is not. They've been in beta with 2.0 since Yosemite, I think. But now they're out officially 2.0. Thank you, Macromates. I think Macromates is really just one guy. But you can pay for it if you want. I paid for it ages ago. $57. It's the missing editor, but you can also use it for free. And I think it is fantastic. Highly recommend it. Andy and Akko, what do you got for us?
Kind of a new favorite app on the iPhone. So we've been talking a lot about like night shot and long exposures today. Recently, I found out that the makers of the Halide app have come out with an app called Spectre, which is all about long exposure. And what I love about it is, number one, it has the same sort of UI vibe as Halide. It just looks like a – I wish that my toaster – behaved as well as this app does. It's just so satisfying to use this camera app, but also that they really have thought about why do people want long exposures, and so that they have built in auto sensing modes for everything. So do we want a long exposure because it's at night and there isn't much light? Great, do that. That's fine. And not only that, but we will also automatically stabilize the camera and give you a nice little like interactive sort of dingus on the screen so you can see how steadily you're holding the camera. Or if you're on a tripod, we'll sense that as well, and then we'll go absolutely nuts and unlock all kinds of new processing that we can do for you. Sometimes people want long exposure because they want to see like a night shot where you can see trails of headlights and taillights or of moving water, so you actually see the flowing of the water. Well, great, they can actually do that as well. And sometimes you do it because you want to do this Photoshop trick where you lean your phone against something absolutely stationary at like Disney World, and then you take like a kajillion photos, and then you basically tell Photoshop, give me a composite of all these 200 photos in which all the pixels that never change from that are common from time to time remain the same. And so you wind up with a shot of Disney World with no people or no moving anything inside it. And we'll do that as well. And it's $3. It's one of these apps where it's one of the reasons why, beyond the hardware of the iPhone's camera and beyond the processing that its image processor does, the iPhone seems to attract a lot of people who take photography seriously and who want to have lots and lots of fun taking pictures. So some of the best pictures that I ever take, or maybe some of the favorite pictures I ever take, are when like my rideshare is a little bit late, or someone is a little bit late. I've got some time just to hang around, but I've got like at least a half charge on my phone, and I'm saying, okay, let's see if this camera can do this, or hey, this is kind of interesting how the sun is reflecting off of that building, and I bet that I can't get a good picture of it, but let's see what we can do with it. And having a $3 app like Spectre on your phone means that you can spend more time like that playing around with what your camera can do, and then finding out that, oh my God, 3 weeks later you forgot you took the picture. Like, wow, how did I get that picture? That was amazing. So $3, super, super fun. You'll really, really enjoy playing with this app. And also, I want to see the developers of apps like this have $3. I want to see them have consistently more than $3, but it pleases me a lot to know that I have given them $3, of which they are allowed to keep most of it from Apple.
I agree. From Lux Optics, the makers of Halide, Spectre with a R-E, not an E-R.
Mix that with the night mode of the new iPhones.
Oh man, I know, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's probably gonna be pretty impressive.
Yeah.
If you go to the blog for the Halide camera app, they've done their own like little discussion of the new hardware features and the new capabilities of the camera without officially having their hands on any hardware that they're willing to acknowledge. But this is why I'm super, super excited to see what the next edition of Halide is going to be like, because when they take advantage of all the new things that are available, including like a new the highest shutter speed of the new iPhone is something like 125,000th of a second, up from like 40,000th of a second. It's like, oh, you could do interesting things with that, could you not? Especially if you are a clever developer who has lots of experience in writing camera apps for the iPhone.
Yeah, can't wait to see.
It's the guy who made Twitter for Mac, yep, and the guy who made the original Find My Friends.
They know their stuff. Renee, your pick of the week.
So I realize that we're talking about all these new phones, and whenever we do that, I'm conscientious that not everybody updates. You know, they're not upset about it. They're just like, I'm going to wait a few years, and then when I'm ready, I'll get my next phone. But like Lori said, they might be looking at that battery life real jealous, you know, a little bit sideways. But Apple makes battery cases for many of the iPhones, I think going all the way back to iPhone 7, and they're currently available for the XR, which is still being sold, but also the XS and the XS Max, if those are the phones that you have. And this is like slapping a whole other phone on the back of your phone, but not having to carry around a much heavier double phone all the time. You put it on when you need it. I was using it religiously, not just for Pokemon Go Community Day, but also for traveling, especially when I was roaming, because the networks away are never like the networks at home. And the radio just gets hot trying to keep a connection, and your battery goes down, and airports have lousy service. And sometimes your hotel has lousy reception. It's a nightmare for battery life. And one of these cases just makes it so much easier to suffer with all those sorts of circumstances. They're not cheap, but they're not overly expensive. And they've typically just doubled the useful battery life of my device. So I put them on when I need them, take them off when I don't. And I love them.
I noticed they don't make them for the 11.
Not yet. It took them until December to make them for the 7, until January to make them for the 10S and 10S Max. They are the same size. You will fit in them, but they will cover up your flash.
Right.
And half the camera from the
But it is just rubber. You could cut it, I suppose. It would be ugly.
But some people have said that, but I'm never going to suggest it, because I don't know if there's some sort of like alien blood in there or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought maybe that was just a cocky way of saying you don't need it for the iPhone 11. I would not recommend.
Like, if your phone is.
Go ahead.
So I was going to say, like, if your phone, if it's just not getting the life you want, or you're jealous of the life the new ones always seem to get, this is a great way to spend, you know, $100 instead of $1,000 and get really good battery life.
Gardner in our chat room says your video is done.
Yes, it finally. It was like, I called it the new Night King, and I think YouTube punished me by putting up a wall.
What is your video? Is Vector?
It's Vector. It's the iPhone 11 Pro version. And in this one, I don't talk about like the interfaces. I did that all in the iPhone 11 review. But this is like all the machine learning and how all the stuff just works in the new phones.
The new Night King. I want to see this as soon as the show is over. I shall be watching. His video is up at imore.com/Vector. Lori Gill, your pick of the week.
So around the time of the iPhone event gets very stressful. As fun as it is, there's a lot to do. And I use an app, and they have an online version called My Noise. And it's a sound generator that creates soundscapes. But it's more than just listening to a handful of tones. You actually can manipulate each sound that comes from this one soundscape, so you can listen to certain tones louder than others. And it's perfect for any number of different things. If you go to the online noises section, you can listen to all of the noises available in the online noises section without having to spend any extra money on it. In the app, I think it gives you about a dozen that you can listen to for free. And if you wanted to donate some money to them, you can you get access to all of the same noises. And so they go by things to listen to help you go to sleep, white noise to help you cut out outside sound. There's soundscapes for listening to the sound of construction, and people go
This is the Irish coast, and I just turned up the waves. Let me turn up the rain.
Riders on the storm. Into this world we're born.
Let me get the rumble of the wind. It's really gonna be a windy day today, Riders. This is fun. I love this.
Yeah.
So and it is an app.
These are recorded by people who go. I follow them on Twitter as well. And people go out and they sit there with these high quality microphones and they capture these sounds. It's not computer generated audio. This is like high quality soundscapes that you can manipulate the way. And one of my favorite, Andy, you're going to like this one. I believe it's called Starship. And it is the sounds. It's representative of the sounds that you would hear on the Enterprise. And it has all of the bleeps and blops, but it also
Where did they record that?
A low hum.
This is nice. This is a Gregorian chant, and I could turn up the bell. I could turn up Canon A. I could turn up the reverb on A or turn it down.
This is so cool. Like listening to there's some that will be like you know, the ghosts within or something like that. You can play that for your, you know, Halloween soundtrack, or there's one that's a cat purring that you can listen to the sound of a cat purring and even adjust the it's a really great, and I use it all the time, and I actually Highly recommend getting the app and donating a little bit of money to them, because what they do is pretty amazing. Also, if anybody has tinnitus, they do have a couple of soundscapes that help kind of recalibrate that ringing in your ears so that it helps reduce that when you take your headphones off. It's not as bad. I use that all the time. So
I have tinnitus as all us rock stars do. And that's great. I can't. So there's far more available on the app than there is on the free website. So
There's lots and lots and lots for sure. Much that you can't even they're constantly adding more, and you can't even go through them all. And actually, the first page that you were on, Leo, it only showed some of them, but there's the online noises section. There's a little tab down at the bottom of the page. When you click on that, that's
there's a lot more. Is the Starship Enterprise on here too?
Yeah, and I don't think it has the word Enterprise on it, because I don't think they'd be allowed to use that one.
Look at all this. So this is kind of a volunteer effort, I guess, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just people who do it for the love of it. Yeah.
Wow. What's the one that you were talking about called?
I think it's called Starship. These things are separated by
categories. Transport, spaceship for sci-fi fans.
Yeah, try that one. I think that might be the
infra
one.
Rumble, low rumble, high rumble.
Yeah, this is it.
Flutter. here's the control room. Here's.
The background, you close your eyes, you can even hear Riker hitting on someone.
Oh, this is so cool. There's the low rumble. This is really amazing. You can buy them audio files. You can listen to it on your Apple Music. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff to this. This is mynoise.net. This is a big project, whatever they're doing here.
Yeah.
There is a Star Trek ambient engine noise generator that you might want to. We can play with that too. Depends on which engine you're using. This is the V3, I think. Look at that! Oh my goodness! All right, hit the button, because it's time to say thank you to our fabulous MacBreak Weekly panel. Lori Gill, imore.com. Anything you want to plug?
Not this time. Go to imore and read Renee's reviews and find out all about all the new phones. And when the operating systems drop on Thursday, we're going to have all the guides on how to update and all that stuff. So come check us out.
Yes. Thank you, Lori Gill. Andy Iannacco, I'm sure we're going to see you talking about the iPhone on Boston Public Radio.
Yep, I'm on Friday at the Boston Public Library Studios at, I think, 1:20. And so if anybody, for any reason, doesn't get around to watching Renee's video, you can hear me repeating most of what he says verbatim as though they were my own conclusions at 1:20.
God knows, that's what I do.
I learned it all from you, Andy, so that's only fair.
He takes the briefings so we don't have to.
Exactly.
Thank you, Andy. Renee Ritchie, you can take a nap. Unless you got to get that Apple Watch story published, I don't know. You take a little nap and go to sleep.
Andy's dog is running over there.
imore.com, at Renee Ritchie. And, of course, you got to read his great coverage of the new Apple products at imore.com. Thank you, Renee. And imore.com/vector for the videos. Have a wonderful afternoon. Take a nap. Are you going to get a chance? Just a little nap?
I'm going to try.
Oh, poor guy. He's probably so wired up he can't even do that.
Well, at least you have a really nice sleep tracker.
Yeah.
they didn't ship that feature this year.
No,
so awkward.
No sleep tracker yet. Not for you. We'll never know how we're sleeping. Our show is brought to you, of course, every week at about, you know, it really depends how long we go on iOS today. We started at noon this time. Only because of that arcade.
Sometimes a little bit later if the hosts have like 300 or 400 games like dumped in their laps just for airtime.
Yeah, but it's supposedly 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1700 UTC on a Tuesday afternoon. Please stop by and watch the show live or listen live at twit.tv/live or ask your Amazon Echo or Google device to play Twit Live, and you can listen that way. You can, if you're doing it live, you should join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv. You can also join us in studio if you want. Just email tickets at twit.tv. We'd love to see you. We have a visitor from Toronto. Mark is in studio. Actually, he's here for security now, but he's just watching whatever's on at the moment. We got him in here. We're available on the website, twit.tv/mbw. You can download any of our 679 episodes. You can also subscribe. In fact, that's what, if you would do me a favor, that's the best thing to do. That way you'll get every episode the minute it's available. You can subscribe on YouTube or in your favorite podcast application. Just search for Mac Break Weekly. Thanks, everybody. I'm sorry to say, time to get back to work, because break time is over.